praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In one verse, it says that Jesus sat down and taught them. Amen. Hallelujah. And so this morning we're going to open the Word of Life and open the Word of God, and we're going to take our time and make sure we get an understanding. Amen. Scripture says, in all that getting understanding. And today that's what we want to do. We want to encourage you in the Word and help you get an understanding. And by getting an understanding, your faith will grow. And the just shall live by faith. It takes faith in order to walk with Jesus. That faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tried. And we want to equip you so that you will be ready and equipped to go through and to overcome all that the world and the enemy and the flesh will bring your way. Amen. Someone made the statement that God cannot use you the most until he has hurt you the worst. God cannot use you the most until he has hurt you the worst. Did y'all hear that? Doesn't feel good, does it? It is amazing that the very thing that will bring out the best in us, we hate the most. The thing that will bring out the best in us, we hate the most. But God cannot use you or me the most until he has hurt us the worst. And the Christian life is a lot of things. It is a race. The Bible compares the Christian life to a race. It compares the Christian life to a garden where we plant seeds. It compares the Christian life as it relates to today's message. It relates the Christian life to a war, a fight. And the scripture tells us that we must fight the good fight of what? Faith. So today I want to use the Word of God to build up your faith, to build you up so that you can do spiritual warfare, so that you will have victory over the flesh, the world, and the devil. But the thing that brings out the best in us the most, one word, what is it? Anybody? What is the one thing that brings out the best in us that we suffering, hurt, pain, adversity. It brings out the best in us, but we hate it the most. And it's natural. You're not by yourself if you recoil and don't want to go through suffering. When suffering was put upon Paul, he recoiled against it. Paul is considered one of the greatest Christians and one of the greatest missionaries ever. He did so much for the Lord. But when adversity and suffering was put upon him in the form of a thorn in the flesh, he recoiled against it. He did what we ought to do. He prayed against it. And he prayed 3 times and said, "Lord, take this thing from me." Take it away. And God said, in essence, "I will not take it away." And sometimes God does that. He will not answer the question. "Can you just give me a yes or a no?" But he didn't give him a yes or a no. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you to go through this thing." What was the answer? "God, will you take this away?" What was the answer? "No. I'm not going to take it away, but I'm going to give you the grace that you need to be able to go through this thing." 3 times Paul asked the Lord, "Please take it away." And God said, "My grace is enough. You're going to have to go through this, and my grace will carry you through it." And Jesus said it, "In this life you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome all of that," which means you will overcome it too, because you are in me. Jesus himself, in his flesh, if we understand Jesus, he was both God and man. He's the God-man. He was God first, and then God became flesh. God became Emmanuel, God with us. And he limited his authority and prerogatives as God and took on the flesh. And he suffered in the flesh. So as a man in the flesh, Jesus recoiled. He pushed back from suffering. He asked again. Paul had an example. Jesus prayed 3 times. "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." What do you mean, pass? "I don't want to drink from this cup of suffering. God, if it's any other way, take this cup from me." That was Jesus. Remember, he went into the garden and he had his disciples with him. And 3 times, the scripture says, he went and prayed the same thing. This is a life of faith, brothers and sisters, and we have to walk it together as much as we can. As much as we can, we need to hold each other's hands and stay together and call each other and hang in there together. But here's a truth in that too. That does come a time where you got to go through this thing by yourself, and it's going to be nobody but you and God. And that's when you must have a personal relationship with him. Know him by name. You got to get used to his name and used to talking to him, because there will come a time where husband won't be able to go with you. Wife won't be able to go with you. You're going to have to, you tell him, come on, go with me and stay right here and pray with me for a little while. But then you're going to have to go a little bit farther into some areas by yourself. And mama won't be able to help you. Daddy won't be able to help you. Your best friend won't be able to help you. And God designed it for you to go through this, some part of it, by yourself. Not yea though we walk, but yea though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Saints, the church is supposed to be, let me say it like this, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor, and the teachers are supposed to be equipping the saints so that we know how to endure hardness as good soldiers. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor, and the teachers are supposed to be equipping the saints to know how to do spiritual warfare. God has appointed some of us to be sergeants, to get in your face and say, get up, soldier. You're talking about, I can't even, I'm tired. Get up, soldier. Set attention. Straighten your back and get ready to fight. Get in position. No, sir, I didn't tell you to do it that way. Follow orders. Stick to the script. But oh my God, saints, we've got so many baby Christians. So many, oh, you're not going to like it, retarded. Spiritually retarded. Your growth has been stunted because we don't want to hear the word that will grow us up and strengthen us. We still want a bottle. You're a grown man and you still want a bottle. Grown woman, but you still want a bottle. Pastor, I don't want that meat. Give me a bottle. I want some milk. You want a pacifier. What is it for? It comes, it relates to the word to satisfy. Make me feel good. Are y'all hearing this, saints? We sing, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. But we don't like it when the sergeant yells out some orders. Hello? Saints, as I look out over the body of Christ, when I talk to pastors all over the country and all over the nation and even from other nations, I always ask them, what do you see? What's going on in the body? What do you see? In the body, for the most part, is becoming weaker. The body is becoming weaker. And our love is being waxed colder. And we don't want discipline. no discipline. I don't want discipline. I don't want training. I don't have time to sit down and listen to the Word of God and open my Bible and get an understanding and know what I'm talking about and then share it with someone else, this good news. We're called to share it. We're messengers. Are you being toughened up? Are you being toughened up? Are you getting softer? Are your spiritual muscles getting bigger and stronger? Or are you getting softer? Are you quitting on the workout when it's time to work out? Do you quit? I can't do no more. A good trainer will say, yes, you can. Keep pushing. Your arms will start shaking. Sam, do you lift weights sometimes? Don't your arms ever start shaking when you're trying to do a bench press? And your face get ugly. Church is trying to be so pretty. You can't lift heavy your weight. I can't put any heavier weight on you if you're trying to look cute because it starts distorting your face. And then the man of God has to put his hand, your spotter has to put his hands under you and say, come on, get one more. And I mean, you barely made it through that. He's talking about one more. Anybody ever been there? One more. Saints, are we getting spiritually stronger? We got to grow, saints, and we grow by the Word of God. We get better at this thing by the Word of God. But we cannot be disillusioned as to what is coming up ahead. If I don't do my job as a pastor to get you equipped to do the work of the ministry and to endure hardness as a good soldier, if I don't do that, God will allow it. The enemy will bring strong winds and strong oppositions against you, and your faith is going to be tested. And if you're not rooted and grounded, you're going to fall away. You're going to give up. You're going to fall by the wayside. Acts chapter number 14, verse 22. Acts chapter number 4, verse 22, where they strengthened the believers. It talks about how the apostles went and strengthened and encouraged the believers. They encouraged them to continue in the faith, reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Y'all see that? The apostles were doing their job. They went around encouraging and strengthening the brothers and the sisters, and they encouraged them that they must hold on to the faith, stand firm in the faith, and that we must suffer many hardships to enter into the kingdom of God. And what's interesting about this is God can bless you financially, you're still going to have to suffer many hardships. Money doesn't change it. Because, see, we're living in a fallen, corrupt world. And you're going to suffer either for righteousness' sake, for God's sake, for Christ's sake. Are you going to suffer in the world? Are you going to suffer in sin? And then you're going to die and go to hell and have to pay for your own sins. You're going to suffer either way it goes. Man, not Christian man, but man that is born of a woman is of a few days, and those days are full of trouble. That's every man everywhere. And it doesn't make a difference what size house you live in. You're still going to have to suffer many hardships. All that live godly will suffer persecution, not just hardships, but you're going to suffer one way or the other. You can either do it by yourself and with the devil and the world, or you can do it with God and he'll carry you through. But on our way to the kingdom, now, this doesn't say that a requirement to get into the kingdom is suffering. It's not that suffering is a requirement to get into the kingdom. No, it's saying there is a way, a straight and narrow path that leads to life. And on that path, on that road, there's hardships and dips and valleys and mountains and curves. And there's a lot of danger on this road of life. But if you travel it with the Lord, see, if you get on the narrow path, you're on your way to the kingdom. And on your way, there's just hardships along the way. And no matter how much, no matter what position you get, you're going to suffer. No matter how much money you get, you're going to suffer. You can have the perfect husband, as it were, the perfect wife, good children, all of that. You're still going to suffer. As a matter of fact, they're going to bring you some of the suffering. I made the illustration, I believe it was last Sunday, that in order for us to enjoy good grape juice or wine, some grapes must be crushed. No crushing of the grapes, no grape juice, no wine. No crushing of the olives, no olive oil. No suffering for the good, for the Christian, you won't become a good Christian. You won't develop the character of God in you. It won't happen without some suffering. Frederick William Robertson wrote this: the best things in life are the result, listen to this, of being wounded. The best things in life are the result of being wounded. I was talking with some ministers about, again, the condition of the church. And how In the last days, the scripture says the people will not put up with sound doctrine, but they will depart from the faith, paying attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And they will not put up with sound doctrine, but they will go and find teachers. They will heap to themselves teachers because their ears are itching for something that sounds good. And I said, as we were talking, me and the ministers, we agreed that that's sometimes hard when you're pastoring and you see the flock scattering and won't put up with sound doctrine. And we talked about how it happened to Jesus. As he called the people closer and told them that they're going to have to take up their cross and follow him and lay aside this and lay aside that, and they all begin to leave him. You know, he fed 5,000 one time, he fed 4,000 another time, and people will come from everywhere to hear him. But when he started calling them to the ministry and calling them to come closer, they began to leave him. And when he got to the judgment hall, there was none of the disciples there. All the folk he healed, the Bible says everybody that came to him, he healed every one of them. If they came asking, he healed everybody that came asking. And he went around doing good and blessing people and casting out devils and healing the sick and opening blind eyes. And not one of them came to speak up for him. And then one minister pointed out, brethren, Jesus was not at his best when he had a full crowd. Victory wasn't when he had a full crowd. When he had all the people there for the food and all the people had been healed and their stomachs were full, that wasn't victory. He was most victorious when he was standing on that cross, suffering. It looked like defeat, but it was victory. His hands was like this, but only for a certain time. His hands were like this for a while, and he was suffering, and that was not defeat, that was victory. And when he went through the full process, he dropped his head, hung his head, and died. But after 3 days, those hands were like this, and his head was up, and he said, all power has been given to me. All power in heaven and earth is in my hands. That's when we're victorious. When God lays his worst on us and we take it, and we recall from it, just as Jesus said, Father, if you will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He was on that cross and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the man. But then the man yielded his will to the Father and said, Father, into thine hand I commend my spirit. If this will please you, so be it. I'll drink the cup, and you can baptize me in this suffering. Oh, saints, don't believe what you see with your eyes. The just shall live by faith. and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. The best things in life are the result of being wounded. Wheat must be crushed before becoming bread. Listen to this. If you thought that was bad, wheat must be crushed before becoming bread. You know how we talk about we want to be a sweet savor in the nostrils of God? Saints, what do they call that stuff that it sends up the sweet fragrance? They call it what? Incense. Uh-huh. And incense must be burned. Oh! Incense must be burned by fire before its fragrance can be set free. The best of us can't come out until he sent us into the furnace. And we say, you know what, King? We're not careful to answer you in this matter. We know that our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, but even if he doesn't, faith says we will not bow down to your statue. Burn me up if you want to, and I'm just going to become an incense, a sweet fragrance. In the nostrils of God. The earth must be broken. The earth must be broken with a sharp plow before being ready to receive the seed. And it is a broken heart that pleases God. Yes, the sweetest joys of life, listen at this, the sweetest joys of life are the fruits of sorrow. Human nature seems to need suffering. I don't know why. To make it fit to be a blessing to the world. And saints, let's look at Romans chapter number 5. To confirm this, we'll look at 5:1 and a few of the following verses. Romans chapter number 5. And a few of the following verses. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight, how? By faith. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight, by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Listen at that in the Message Bible. As I was studying it, somebody say it got gooder. Yeah, as I was reading it, it got gooder. As I was looking at the different translation, and it says in Romans, in the Message Bible, it says, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, which is set us right with himself, make us fit for him. Wanted to do for us. This is what he wanted to do for us. Set us right with him and make us fit for him. We have it all together. Somebody say, you think you got it all together? In the sight of God, I do. As far as God is concerned, we got it all together. Because that's what Jesus did for us. He set us right in the sight of God. Go back to the first verse again. And so it says, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, which is set us right with him, make us fit for him. This is not what he's going to do. We've already been set right with him, and we've already been made fit for him. We just got to walk this thing out until he comes to get us. We have it all together with God because of our master, Jesus. We got it all together. Amen. Can we read a few more verses after that subscription right there in that Message Bible? And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his door to us. You know how it said, behold, I stand at the door and knock? He said, when you throw open the door, you'll find out I have already opened my doors to you. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand. Out in the open, in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praises. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with what? Troubles. We keep on praising him even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us. How trouble can develop, that's called endurance, saints. How trouble can develop endurance. We know how to stand. Saints, if you've been in God more than 10 to 20 years, please don't be so silly anymore. When somebody lie on you, create a lie on you, don't even let it come out your mouth talking about, I ain't going to church no more. Because of what God told you was going to happen all the time, they're going to lie on you. They're going to mistreat you. If they hated him, they're going to hate you. Why are we crying over what he promised us? They didn't speak to me. So what? Pastor didn't call my name. So what? You're not here for me. I'm not here for you. We are all here for Jesus. And grown-up saints ain't got no business acting like babies, crying to him, he don't like me. She don't like me. I remember when I was doing some substitute teaching. I hate to substitute in elementary school. Because little old Emily comes up and say, Mr. Christian, Teresa is crying because Emily said, or because Becky said she doesn't like her. And she, listen, little girl, I ain't got time for all of this. Go sit down. But here you are grown talking about, she don't like me. He don't like me. It's time for the saints to grow up. Are they asking for another offering? It takes light. It takes offerings to run the lights. Entergy, APNL can't interpret Yobo Sunday break. They don't care nothing about that. You can't come in here with your yellow back self. For the building to run, you got to bring some green. And you can't keep having a problem talking about it. Why are you asking for another offering? Because he needs the offering. You ain't ever came in here and the lights wasn't on. Why? Because I paid the lights here before I pay them at my house. Well, preachers are always, I don't care what other preachers are doing. That ain't happened here. You don't have any excuse. We got to stop this crying over nothing. You can't stop talking. I'm not going to church because my husband did this. I can't do this because my wife did this. You knew your wife was human up front, and it ain't God's fault. Why come I can't worship God because my husband ain't right? And I ain't gonna worship God because my wife ain't right. And I'm not gonna worship God because my children are acting a fool. What? Are you serious? You've been in God all this time and you're still crying over spilled milk? We know that troubles can develop endurance, and we know how to put up with stuff and keep on going. I'll be right back here next Sunday, no matter what she said to me, no matter what he did to me, no matter what the devil throws at me, I'll be right back in my place. And I don't know whether you know it or not, everything that's going wrong in your life ain't the devil. God says, all those that I love, I chasten. And listen, this ain't giving you a whooping for what you did. This is not punishment. This is discipline. God let some troubles come your way, and it ain't got nothing to do with what you did. Because, see, that word chasing is twofold. Sometimes he does have to get you for what you did because you're his child. And he says, all those who are my children, I'm going to chastise them. I'm going to give them a little bit of spanking. And if I don't give you a spanking, it's because you're not my child. You are. Come on, let's cuss in church. A bastard. You got the right to cuss in church. But when God chastens, sometimes it's because you did something wrong and he's correcting you. But other times you didn't do anything wrong. This is discipline. And the pain is to develop, he brings troubles to develop passionate patience in us. Let's read a little bit more. It gets gooder. And how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue. Now see, I sound like a preacher then. All I had to do just put a little, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue. Can I get a witness? See, it was just so much said there that it sound preacherish. But see, what it says is patience in turns, you're the steel, and it develops, it forges temper steel. It's talking about you going into the fire. Steel has to go through the fire and intense heat in order to be made and molded the way it needs to be. Same thing with silver. Same thing with gold. Diamonds got to be cut. God does some of these things, and some of these troubles are for our good and to bring us to the place where he wants us to be. See, we were lacking, but when God put us through this stuff, first he puts us through the troubles, and it brings about patience, and patience helps us endure virtue and keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. Keeps us. Are you there? Next verse. In alert expectancy, such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. See, though God allows you to go through some suffering and some hard times, he's going to give you some good times with it. We still got to go through some trouble up ahead, but after that, we look beyond the trouble. Jesus, as he despised the shame, he kept his eyes, he fixed his eyes on the joy that was set before him. He had to look beyond the shame. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Just a few more verses. Turn to Hebrews. Hebrews. Chapter number 2. Beginning at verse 1. Here's what I really wanted to talk about. Saints, we've taught you that genuine faith is saving faith. It leads you to salvation. Genuine faith. Genuine faith is working faith, because faith without works is dead. So there is dead faith. And then there's genuine faith. That's what we're talking about. And genuine faith also is enduring faith. This kind of faith that let go, no matter what it's facing. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Still with me? Next verse. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think that we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. And furthermore, it is not angels who will control the future world we are talking about. For in one place, the scripture says, what are people that you should think of them? And are a son of man that you should care for him? Yet you made them only a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things. Now when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under their authority. What we do see is Jesus, who was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for who? Everyone. Chapter 3, verse 5, and a few of the following. Chapter 3, verse 5. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. Now, why do we talk about this? Because as we keep trying to do what God has called us to do and keep trying to run this race and live this Christian life, all kind of stuff is going to come at us, and it's going to be trying to knock us off and get us off and make us let go of our faith and get us out of step with Jesus Christ. But it's, listen, saints, that's why I gave those three words. I said genuine faith is saving faith. Genuine faith is working faith. And genuine faith is what? Enduring faith. That's the real one. Most of us have got the first part right. I trust that genuine faith is saving faith. We've accepted Jesus Christ because we have genuine faith and we believe in him. But genuine faith is working faith. Does your faith move you to do some stuff for God? Genuine faith. Genuine faith moves you to work for him. But then genuine faith causes you to endure. That is one of the clearest signs of your genuine faith. Amen? Genuine faith causes you. And it's not something you produce. You don't do any of this. You don't produce the faith in order to be saved. God does it in you. All I'm saying is if you got the genuine faith in you, it'll cause you to be saved, it'll cause you to work, and it'll cause you to endure. So our title, says Christian, is actually genuine faith. Amen? Now let's look at verse number 12, right there in chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3, verse 12, and just a few verses after that. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Do y'all hear what is coming out of this book? In one word, we're getting warnings. It says, be careful and pay close attention to what you've heard, lest you drift away. And some of us, we can drift away. We can get distracted. But it says, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You hear that? The scariest thing in the world is to be in church, going through the motions, wasting time, because we really are not in Christ. Because our hearts are unbelieving. Go back up there and see what it says. And he's talking to church folk. And he assumes that they're sisters and brothers, that they're in Christ. But he doesn't know. He's just in the church and he's preaching to the church, but he don't really know who the church is in. He know all the people are in the church, but he don't know who the church is really in. He doesn't know who's really in Christ, so he says, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving. Because it's going to be manifested sooner or later. Enough winds, strong winds are going to come. Troubles are going to come. Hardships are going to come. And if your heart is evil and unbelieving, it's going to turn you away from the living God. The only thing scarier than being a Christian and coming to church and doing this and not being really into God and really having God in you is being a preacher. That's dangerous. Going through all of this and then stand before God and he say, I never knew you. I can't take that chance, saints. You can't take that chance. So Paul says, examine yourself. Make sure you're in the faith. Come on, there's a little more warning there. Let's read. You must warn, not only must you be careful, you have a responsibility. You must warn each other. Every day, while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Whew. The next part. Will y'all read this with me? Because I'm feeling a little alone here, as if I'm not. At first, I kind of felt I had some help. But I feel that it's getting cold in here. It's getting cold in here. So, read it. For if we are. Stop. Genuine faith is enduring faith. And saints, you've got to be able to endure hardness as a good soldier. You've got to be able to endure the discipline of God when he chastens you and puts you through training. You cannot turn away from him. Remember, Jesus told John, blessed is he who is not offended in me. I just buried my dear friend, Brother Gant, Elder Gant, and one of the best things he ever said to me is when he was suffering, and I've been praying and praying, and looked like God wasn't doing anything, got all that power, but he won't hear my friend, he won't hear my brother, won't hear my prayer. I was upset, silly, calling myself, who am I to tell God what to do with what's his? I stopped that quickly when Brother Gant said, Steve, I am not mad with God because of what he's letting me go through. I am not mad at God, so you don't need to be. And saints, again, everything ain't the devil. Some troubles you will not be able to cast out. Some demons you won't be able to cast out. God's going to leave them right there to buffet you. Some enemies you ain't going to be able to put out of the church. God is going to leave Judas right there. And God's going to let him do what he's going to do. And he's going to be close to you. Going to be on the finance committee. Or going to be walking right with you. You're going to trust him. But you better open your eyes and God will let you see who he really is. And when you see who he really is, you don't tell him, I'm throwing you out. You can't be here. No, you tell him, go do what you do quickly. Go do what you do. I already know what you're going to do, and I'm not afraid of it. The prince of this world comes, but he ain't got nothing in me. God ain't going to let you get rid of all your enemies and put away all the devils and rebuke all the devils. You can rebuke some of them, but they ain't going nowhere because they were sent by God. But you leave Judas alone, he's going to kill his own self. And when it's time for that devil, he's going to go in a pig and jump off the cliff. And when it's his time, he's going to hell. But you can't send him until God tells him it's time. You're going to have to endure it. And you're going to have to get to the place where you forget being mad at God and say, thank you, God, for the pain. Thank you for the trial. Thank you for the tribulation. Thank you for the sour lemons. I'm going to make me some lemonade. Thank you for the hot peppers. I'm going to make me a little spicy something. And you learn to rejoice in it and quit being upset. For if we are faithful to the what? The true sign of your sonship, the true sign of you being in God is you have tenacity. You have perseverance. You can endure anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't care if it's cancer. I can do. I can go through. I don't care if it's divorce, if it's bankruptcy, if it's discouragement, if it's dark days, if it's disaster, if it's disillusionment. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I ain't going nowhere, devil. You can't scare me. I'm not afraid of you. That spirit of fear didn't come from God, so I'm not going to accept it. So if God sent you here, devil, and I can't make you go, I'm going to make you have church. You go endure me while I praise God. I'm going to mess up your mind. I'm going to confuse you because you think I'm going to cry, but I'm going to praise God. And if I do cry, I'm going to praise him through my tears. But I ain't giving up. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to die on the battlefield. Got my war clothes on. And I ain't letting go because I got to make it to the end. Trust in God firmly as when I first believed. I started with Jesus and I'm going all the way. We will share in all that belongs to him. But I'm going on. Yeah, I'm tired, but I'm going on. Yeah, it's hurting, but I'm going on. Yeah, I feel like giving up. That's all it is, a feeling. I ain't going nowhere. I'll dance with a broken heart. I'll praise him with tears in my eyes. I'll praise him with sickness in my body. I'm going to still ask him to heal me. And I'm going to act like he has until he does, one way or the other. I cannot lose. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. As long as I'm alive, I'm going to bless Christ. As long as I'm alive, I'm going to speak the name of Christ. And if I die, it's gain because I go to be with him. But giving up is not an option. Turning around is not an option. Throwing in the towel is not an option. I'm going to tuck the towel in just a little bit hard. Oh, I ain't throwing it away. Uh-uh. You might have me against the ropes, but I'm going to bounce off of them ropes, and I'm coming back at you, devil. I'm in this to win it. I'm in this all the way. I'm in this for the long haul. Many started out with me, but now they're gone astray. But I'm still, by the power of the Holy Ghost, holding on. And if he helps me, I'm going to do it tomorrow. And I'll be here next week. And I'll be here next year. And I'll be here year after that. And when we come into 2020 and 2030 and 2050, I'm going, if I have to crawl in here, if they have to roll me in here, come on, lift your hearts with me and say, I'm going all the way. If that's your testimony, I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way. Going on. I'm going all the way. Going all the way.